You're listening to KTOO's Juno Afternoon. It's about 24 minutes after the hour. I'm your host, Shelley Delaney, and my next guests are here from the American Red Cross of Alaska. Welcome, Lori Wilson and Misty Bruce. Hi.
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 Thanks for being here today. Lori, tell us what your title is at the American Red Cross.
So I'm the executive director for the Far North and Interior of Alaska, as well as the Southeast liaison, so supporting all of our Southeast programs.
Oh, you're so good. They gave you two jobs to do.
Woohoo!
And Misty, how about you?
So I am the Service to Armed Forces Regional Program Specialist.
Great. So what are some of your roles and responsibilities at the organization?
So my role is really to connect the community to our specialists, our disaster managers, our Service to Armed Forces program specialist, Misty, and to make sure that the community is aware of what the Red Cross does, try and help build partnerships. Basically, I call myself the connector, trying to just help them be able to be successful at the role that they're doing and the job that they're doing. So it's very nebulous. It's weird, but, you know.
That's what liaisons do.
Yeah.
And how about you, Misty?
So one of my primary goals is casework. The Department of Defense requires us as Service to the Armed Forces personnel to be able to do casework and help our service members, veterans, and their family members in times of emergency be able to relay those messages overseas or globally, for that matter. And then the other thing that we do is we really build relationships between community partners, military partners, non-governmental agencies, and other nonprofit organizations so that we can really provide resources and information for our service members and their veterans through their life cycle.
Well, what is the connection between the Red Cross and U.S. Armed Forces?
Oh, well, so the Red Cross was founded on the battlefield by Clara Barton. So our first job that we did was serving our military members, providing care to wounded soldiers. Clara Barton would write letters home for soldiers who maybe were injured, or if they were passing and it was their dying, or to notify families. So she was called the Angel of the Battlefield. That was over 137 years ago, and so we have continued that work. We've never lost sight of those are our roots. That's our origins, and that's probably one of the most important things we can do. It's not what everybody hears about in the news. You know, that's the big disasters and stuff. But privately and quietly, we work to really provide supports for our military members and their families, our veterans, and make sure that they feel supported in whatever way that is. So, and that's what Misty does every single day.
So our communication process, of course, has evolved since 1881.
Writing letters home.
It has become a lot easier to deliver those messages. But Lori is absolutely correct. It's still the same principle. We are 100% here 24/7, 365 days a year for our military and their families.
Are there any, like, was there anything that happened recently that you might want to use as an example of how you do your jobs, how you connect services with armed force members?
I would probably talk about the Coast Guard and during the budget. The freeze, the federal freeze, when our Coast Guard was not being paid to do their job. Misty, gosh, I'll let you get into the details.
Sure. So when the Coast Guard wasn't being paid, there were monies that they could have access to. And in order to do that, Red Cross staff members and volunteers globally, wherever Coasties are, have to receive that emergency communication message in order for those funds to be accessible and picked up by them through Western Union.
Well, that's pretty important.
Yeah. Sure it is.
Well, and then what they do every single day, and I think when she talks about casework, it hit me the other day. We were talking about a situation that had happened. Our volunteers that provide casework for the emergency communications that do the follow-ups, they're following up with military members and their families. Usually after, you know, sometimes it's great because it's the birth of a child. Woohoo! But oftentimes it's, you know, one of the most challenging times a family can be going through, right? And so they're having to be able to reach out, see how things are going, find out what other resources, be compassionate, and absorb all that family is going through while still trying to go on with their life every day. And they don't get paid to do it, but they do it because they care. So that is what – it's not just relaying a communication so that the service member can maybe return home. It's following up and making sure that family's okay and that they don't need any other resources. So I'm pretty proud of the work they do. They do it every single day. She was supposed to be doing casework today. A volunteer took it to take care of it, but every single day getting on there and making phone calls and connecting with people that are going through a really hard time.
Well, thanks for doing what you do. I know you're both really passionate about it, so
yeah.
Good leaders in the organization, good role modeling. What's different or unique about working with the Red Cross or the Armed Forces here in Alaska?
Besides the sheer size of the state.
That's one of the things I was going to say is being geographically disconnected from some of the folks that, you know, we provide services to. Because, so for example, my territory, I'm using air quotes like everyone can see me. But so my territory, we're calling it that because we're all a team, is from really Fairbanks all the way up to the very tip-top Barrow-type area, and then the southeast, Juneau and Sitka and those areas. So that's sometimes very challenging. So that's one of the challenges I see mm-hmm. that some smaller regions don't deal with is just being geographically disconnected as far as, like, physically mm-hmm. from our constituents is sometimes really, really, really hard.
Right? And I think sometimes it's if you don't have a military installation right there, like in Fairbanks, we have, you know, the two installations. Down here in Juneau, you don't have any installations, so to speak, but you have a very large National Guard contingency. You have reserves. You have a Coast Guard. And them just knowing that they still have a resource, even though we might not have, and we actually do have a volunteer sitting in the office here on a regular basis to work with. But making sure we have those resources available and that they know that just because there's not maybe this huge, large installation that we're still there to serve and provide care.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I imagine that geographical spread is a big barrier to communication, which is one of the main things that you do.
Yes. Phones become very important in email and texts.
Right. What about like Skyping, video chats?
We do a lot of that. Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, well, another big part of what you do is provide education and training mm-hmm. for residents here in Alaska. And the last year, the Red Cross of Alaska has accomplished quite a lot in that area. Mm-hmm. Do you want to kind of recap what you've been doing over the last year as far as providing education and training?
So I'll give you some just stats from Service the Armed Forces. So we have our own resilience program, the Red Cross does, and it's pretty fantastic. I'm not biased. I mean it from the bottom of my heart. It's fantastic. And we were able to put 157 people in seats to be able to receive that training. And some of those things are coping with deployment, you know, coping with stress and trauma, psychological first aid type things just to make people more self-sufficient and just to be able to deal with the difficulties that come from this lifestyle, you know, for mm-hmm. sure. And then some of the other things I would say is we reached over 3,800 messages. We did more like 3,800 emergency communications messages in the state of Alaska last year.
Wow. What's an example of an emergency communication?
So let's say a service member's mother passes away while he or she is serving overseas. The American Red Cross validates and verifies that information, and that message is delivered to that service member's command team. And then someone on the follow-up casework after the service member has been notified reaches out to make sure they were granted emergency leave or are there any other local or national resources we can provide them with. And then the last thing that we're pretty proud of is that we do get to know us before you need us briefs, which means we are out beating feet at installations across the state, events and functions, just talking about what the Red Cross and Service the Armed Forces does. And we were able to talk to more than 11,000 people last year.
Wow.
And brief them on our services.
That's really impressive. You guys do your job and do it well.
We have a really great team of, you know, of staff. We also have a really, really phenomenal team of volunteers. And, of course, we need more always. And in order to be able to really, truly, you know, which is part of why we're here for Southeast, is to really try and build our outreach in Southeast. So our vets, our Coast Guard, our National Guard members, our reservists know that we're here and have volunteers willing to to work with those folks in the Southeast, and so we're not just always providing it from, you know, Fairbanks or Anchorage or someplace else, but having an office they can walk into and maybe have a volunteer there that can help, because we do have an office here that they can walk into or willing to volunteer and help there, help with outreach, help with events and functions, and do things to you know, like we have a coffee.
We do.
That, you know, for vets at the, that's hosted at the Moose Lodge, having those sort of things done so we're bringing people together and letting them know they have a good resource. And as we know, the National Guard is deploying here. That means families here in Southeast are going to need support.
Yeah.
And having volunteers that are willing to help do that.
Where can we find out more information about Red Cross of Alaska?
You just go to redcross.org/Alaska.
That was easy.
It's pretty easy, and there's all sorts of information on there for.
And we have a really great Facebook page, too.
Oh, yeah. All right.
We have a really great Facebook page.
We do.
Good to know. And there's also a website specifically about service to the Armed Forces program in Alaska. That URL is kind of long, but you can find it on our website, Juno Afternoon, at kto.org/JunoAfternoon. Anything coming up in the future, any events, trainings, workshops that you want folks to know about that you'd like to discuss while you're here?
We're working on something hopefully for May, which is National Military Appreciation Month, working with the National Guard. We've got to get some approvals in place through the military processes for it to happen. But if it happens, we're going to be hopefully doing some sort of nice family-type event here in Juneau. Just cross our fingers that we can get all the approvals done that need to happen.
And then we have a resilience workshop planned for April.
Oh, yeah.
Dates are still being finalized, so we'll have to push that out to the community. But it will be in support of those National Guard families and Coast Guard families. And it's called Coping with Deployments. And it's going to be a great workshop for people to just learn some of those skills and ask questions.
Great. Lori Wilson, Misty Bruce, from the American Red Cross of Alaska, thanks so much for being here with me today. Anything else you'd like to add?
No, thanks for having us.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thanks so much for being here.